Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest, a very special guest of honor today, is the Deputy General Manager of Formac Group in Odessa, Ukraine, Mr. Konstantin Timoshenko. It's a very special honor to have you here today. Welcome, Konstantin.
Thank you, Bo, and thank you for having me.
Yeah. So in this particular situation, we really appreciate that you have time to elaborate a little bit about your company.
Sure.
And come back to your situation a little bit later. First and foremost, Konstantin, how come you are in logistics and shipping? Why are you not sitting in a bank, for example? how did you get this career?
Well, I think Odessa is a typical port city. We have the largest port in Ukraine. Odessa used to be a main port of the USSR Black Sea Fleet. So in Odessa, it used to be that you are either a seaman, like a seafarer, or work in a port. So like my family used to work in the port industry. So I work here as well.
Okay, interesting. And how many people are you in Formac nowadays?
Well, Formac is a group of companies, and in the family, like in Ukraine, I think we have a couple of hundred people. But in Formac Group, our office, we have something like 21 employees.
Okay.
Interesting. 30% of them are currently located outside of Ukraine for obvious reasons, but the other 70 is still here and mainly located in Odessa.
Okay, and working under these circumstances where you are under constant attack, I can imagine that it's not something anyone would wish on anyone. But how, if I may ask, you have boots on the ground. How is it right now to be working there?
Well, you actually just witnessed one of the blackouts when we started recording. I had lights.
Okay.
In the room. I do not have them now. I'm not sure what the quality of the video is going to be. But the internet is going quite strong because we have this fiber optical cable.
Right.
So it's going to, I hope, continue to work. But it's you get used to even to conditions like this. Odessa is now badly affected by missile strikes in terms of electrical supply. And we have this electrical grid is overloaded and cannot sustain all the consumers at the same time. So basically what the electrical grid management do is they cut off part of the city for a couple of hours, then they turn on electricity for them and switch off for the other guys. So probably we were the ones who have the electricity cut off now.
Right. I must say, it sounds like a logistical nightmare, but you really can use your logistic. I mean, for lack of a better word, you can certainly use your logistics experience now, how to plan it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
But I can only say, I can only say that on behalf of everyone I know and also people from around the world and including from our countries here, we support you as much as we can. And I know that we are definitely here in the north of Sweden. We are sending weapons down to support you. And Finland and Sweden will be joining NATO mm-hmm. soon. Thanks to this. Otherwise, that would never have happened. So I can only say, keep it up. Keep up the spirit. And we hope the guy in the east will get tired soon and go back to his cave.
Hopefully. And I also would like to thank everyone and to probably it's time to mention that we in Ukraine feel support of the international community, and all the help you guys send us is noticed, and all the warmest words go to you.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
So of course, to interview you under these circumstances is a little bit tricky, but how do you go about, I mean, at least internet is such an important thing for all of us, and especially for you. You can still use your mobile telephones. I mean, you are still, let's say, able to communicate.
Well, yeah, we kind of are able to communicate, but during the blackouts, it's more difficult because cell towers are also obviously powered by electricity, and during blackouts they don't really work. So either you can buy Starlink, this Elon Musk satellite internet connections, or if you are lucky enough in your residential building, let's say you have fiber optics, they often work even during blackouts. So this is what we have in the office, so that's why I'm still able to talk to you.
Okay, your voice comes certainly across very clear, and your English is excellent. So I think everyone understands you perfectly. How about the port in itself, Odessa, at the moment? Is it still running? Is there any traffic running there at all currently?
Well, Odessa is one of the three ports included in the so-called grain agreement signed, two grain agreements signed between Ukraine, Turkey and the United Nations, and the second one with the Russia, Turkey, and the United Nations, which allows export of basically grain and fertilizers from Odessa and its two close ports of Chornomorsk and Pivdenny. So yes, Odessa exports agricultural products, but unfortunately, all the other traffics are stopped. Including containers and general cargoes, that they are put on hold.
Mm. So that means supplies are coming in via the Polish border, I suppose, or.
Well, yeah, this is one of the major things we had to deal and still have to deal with, is that all the ports are closed for the other cargoes. And we use ports in Romania, Bulgaria, and Poland. Actually, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Belgium as well, it sometimes, unfortunately, we have to deliver some goods from Belgium, which is, or Netherlands, are far away from Ukraine. But if there is no other options, we use those countries as well. And thanks to the network members from these countries, they are of great help to us.
Okay, so you are in touch with the CLC and Cross Ocean Network members in those countries.
Exactly. Yes, we are.
And do you feel that they do all they can to support you?
Well, they've been doing this from day one. From day we joined, but especially since February 24th, when the war began. And so, full scale invasion, as it's called in Ukraine, because we've been in the war since 2014. The network members have really, really helpful, starting from basically human things like calling us and asking if we are okay, if we need some basic assistance on a personal level, like power banks sent to us, because this is something in huge demand over here in Ukraine.
Of course.
Ending with professional support of handling Ukrainian cargo, which nobody really planned to do, and most terminals in those countries are not really we're not prepared to handle the quantities of the cargo which they are now receiving. And the employees of our partners also do not expect and did not expect these longer working hours. So huge thanks to them for doing this for us.
Good to hear, Konstantin. And you have all of your family is in Odessa at the moment?
No, unfortunately not. My two daughters now live in Constanța in Romania. Okay. So we meet like every month. Or day two in Izmail, which is in the south of Ukraine. Yeah. It's like two hours drive for them and like 4 hour drive for me, but quite close. And in there, no blackouts, no missile strikes. So yeah, unfortunately, we're now separated in this way.
So do let me know. I mean, we have very good members in Constanța, both Unimasters and I think Evo Maritime. So just let me know if you need any assistance. From them, any pushing.
Thank you, and special thanks to ProShipping Solutions, the Cross Ocean member.
Yes.
To Petru, to Alex, and Dino, they've been very helpful, and they've become good friends, not only partners.
That's great to hear, and I will make sure to make a special thank also in this interview to ProShipping in Romania. Very, very good to hear that we have such members. So regarding the logistics under the situation that you're in, of course, difficult to conduct your work. How when you see underground, I mean, it's in Odessa, I mean, basically you don't go out, I suppose. You stay at home or stay in your office, I guess.
Well, I think I could say that you don't go out, but and we didn't do that in the first weeks for someone months of the war, but Odessa is not that badly damaged. Like there's some cities completely wiped out. So like they are basically no one lives there anymore. Odessa is fine. We have restaurants and cafes open because you have to support economy in some way, and you have to live. So yeah, we do go out, but every now and again we have these raid alerts and missile strikes and loud explosions and blackouts and things like that happening every now and again.
I fully see, no I don't, because I never tried it, and I wish I never will try what you are facing.
I hope no one deals with this. It's not something you want to experience.
I feel a bit empty for words when I say I understand. No I don't. It's like people say you understand when somebody dies. No, you don't until you try it yourself. You know. It's a little bit of empty words. I have to reluctantly admit, but we do what we can. And as mentioned, if you need anything from the network management or anything from around the world or sent to you or whatever, just give me a buzz and I can activate some people.
Thank you. You've been very helpful. And again, thanks to the network members. We've received many, many messages and calls of support and offers of assistance. This is very heartwarming. And although many things it cannot be done and some things are out of our control, we cannot end this war, but it's at least good to know that people care about us. Ready to assist. This is really, really nice.
And for sure, there will be a reckoning. I hope some of all these luxury yachts and that these oligarchs have been building around the world may be sold and used to repair your country again.
Hopefully.
So hopefully. Let's see what happens. But for now, I mean, nobody can predict what's going to happen. I mean, it all depends on whether the war goes on or not. So basically, that you can't even say, there's no plan. We just have to wait and see, isn't it?
Part of the thing is that yes, we cannot do anything with the war apart from fighting it. But we keep working. We keep working, and there's some part of it's a bad thing to say and bad thing to probably admit. I don't like it, but. In terms of business, of course, we're badly damaged because both import and export volumes are down. But comparing to lives lost, this is nothing. This is just business. Yeah. But now we are in huge need of transformers, let's say, or generators. And this is something we can help with and are now helping our partners and customers to rebuild badly damaged electrical grid. And so we are delivering transformers. We did that before the war, but now our skill is needed badly, and we're happy to assist whatever we can.
Yeah. So as I said, logistics in a war is certainly a key point for being successful, and maybe that's what it shows about the skills, logistics skills in Russia. Don't seem to be very impressive because it seems that logistics is one of their key headaches for the moment. I mean, anyone can fire a missile from long distance, right? But anyway, no. But look, main thing is that you're sound and safe. So does it mean when you do the transportation, you can't use the port, so it's overland? Is there any river transport now? Or so everything, Romania, Moldavia, I suppose, and Poland is all overland, right?
Well, mainly overland, but we do have the Danube, which... So there is actually even a container connection now between Constanza and Ukraine and Danube port of Reni.
Okay.
Maersk have launched two dedicated services, one with barge and one with a small river ship coming from Constanza to Reni. And we also have, of course, huge volumes of grain and other products heading both ways. Grain heading from Ukraine to Romania and Bulgaria and Serbia and Hungary in other countries from Ukraine and other products going back through river to the river. But mostly, I think that land connections are used, both rail and trucks.
That Ukrainian port you mentioned, how do you spell that?
R-E-N-I.
Okay, R-E-N-I. So Roger, England, Nancy, India.
India, correct, yes.
Rennie, okay.
Rennie, yes.
Remember, be careful, Maersk Line, they don't like freight forwarders. They want to do all by themselves. But maybe, yeah, maybe exactly. Maybe for Ukraine, they will make an exception for you.
No, they're not making any exceptions for Ukraine, and they've been quite aggressive here as well.
Yeah.
But I also think that their customers are finding themselves aware of the fact that forwarders are there for a reason, because even especially during times like this, when like any company has its stuff located in Ukraine and outside Ukraine, and someone doesn't have an internet connection, you have to have someone who is ready to pick up the phone anytime. And this is not something shipping clients are famous for.
They've been so arrogant, some of them, the last couple of years, because they earned too much. And now they start whining and complaining because the rates are going down to pre-COVID levels. So I don't feel much sorry for them. They build up a big fortune. It's time for them to spend it also.
Yeah, probably.
But very good, Konstantin. I think Formac as a general freight forwarder and working under extreme, the most extreme conditions one could ever imagine, even worse than bad weather and stuff like that. I really applaud what you're doing. And I want to say formally many, many thanks, Konstantin, for joining this interview. I'm making it a bit short because under the circumstances, you do have other things to get back to.
Sure.
So thank you very much for giving us time during being under attack for this interview. Thank you, Konstantin.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for talking to me.
So to all our listeners, viewers and readers from around the world, this was yet another great, although in some ways sad, interview with Mr. Konstantin Timoshenko. He's the Deputy General Manager of Formac Group in Odessa, Ukraine. A very capable freight forwarder who is, like his country, under attack from the big one in the east. We can only hope and pray that everything will soon be over and that they all can get back to their normal lives like they deserve. So thank you all and stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.